हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय वन अधिकरण फोर भक्ति इज सुपीरियर टू ऑल अदर साधनास। सो देन कंटिन्यूइंग इन द अधिकरण 106 ऑन पेज 25 Yeah, so continue with this. Oh, yes, here we go. Oh, no, we did the Mehaya Griva. It's another verse from Gautamiya Tantra. No, this is Bhagavatam. Mehaya Griva, protect me from disrespecting the devatas when going on a path. Right? So when you're going on the path, you won't disrespect the devatas. One, you're going to be is that if you come across a temple or anything, you're not going to disrespect or anything, to be the proper respect, that you're acknowledging their service to Krishna. And at the same time is that all the different subtleties that are there in how the etiquette and all that goes, because with those etiquette it also is connected with all the different personalities of the universe, like how, what the mother and father represent different personalities, the grandparents, the sisters, the brothers, the children, the cousins, all these, they all represent something. And so, or the king represents the Lord, from that administrative aspect. So you're going to have all those things. Then you have all the elements, you're going to deal all the living entities that they're part and parcel of the Lord. So you're going to deal with everyone properly. So you're going to have the one element of that dealing that with the demigod, as a deity in the temple, and then or as just their temple as you walk by. But the other is that how they're controlling all of the nature on Krishna's behalf, and his vibhutis are present everywhere, and so you won't disrespect them and their service. You see it all in relationship to Krishna. There's a following story in the Vishnu Dharma. Ambarish, is this this is the this is Jiva Goswami, no?
Yes, Maharaj.
So shouldn't that be out? Because it's
One second,
indented.
one. Oh, yeah, it maybe because just I pressed the tab by mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that should be out. Yeah, then it's not a quote for Tamiya.
Yeah.
It might be from Gautamiya, but we have under Gautamiya, and then after that, we have the Bhagavatam. So,
Yeah, it's not from Gautamiya. It's the story which he describes, which I mentioned before.
okay. There is the following story in the Vishnu Dharma. Ambarish worshipped the Lord for many days. After that, the Lord, in the form of Indra, mounted Garuda in the form of Airavata and appeared before him, offering him a boon. Seeing the form of Indra, Ambarish offered respects but did not want a benediction. He said, "He whom I worship and no other should give me blessings." When Indra said, "I will give you benedictions given by the Lord," Ambarish still did not want the blessings. Indra then raised his thunderbolt to strike him, being pleased that his devotee did not except blessings from Indra. The Lord made that form disappear, and it appeared in its real form. He gave mercy to his devotee. Right? So that's the whole point, is we don't need benedictions or blessings from the demigods. It's one thing if you're asking them for pure devotion. That's the one thing. But other than that, a benediction generally means, fulfilling some desire, some need like this. So the only way that we interact is as servants of the Lord, and that they may bless us with pure devotion. But other than that, we don't want to take anything from them. because they have to get it from Krishna anyway. So if it's not pleasing to Krishna, why should we get it? So we take shelter of Krishna, and then if he gives something, we're happy with that, and if he doesn't, then we're not. I mean, and if he doesn't, then that's the way it is. We're happy, you know, however Krishna wants to perform, you know, be involved. Then it is a great fault to disrespect Shiva. Nandishwara gave a curse in the fourth canto. The curses are suitable because he takes ignorance in the form of karma as knowledge. And he is foolish. Let those who follow Daksha, who insulted Shiva, take repeated birth and death in this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.2.24. Okay, the curses are suitable, right? Because it's a matter of, oh, you know, it's unsuitable. You're cursing the Brahmins, it's that. Or, you know, who are you to curse Daksha? You know, he's a Prajapati. He's such a great personality. And you're simply a follower of Lord Shiva. And Daksha's considering that a lower position. But he's saying he takes ignorance in the form of karma as knowledge. So he's taking karma because that's based on the body and all the different things like that for getting facilities for the body and mind. It's on the platform of the body and mind, ritualistic, for getting facilities on the platform of the body and mind. And so he's taking that as knowledge. Yes, okay, you know anything. You know that, okay, you know, this is a small thing. It's white and it's got round corners and stuff like that. Okay, you can say that's knowledge, but the point is, since it's external, nothing to do with the soul, nothing to do with uplifting the soul, then it's considered ignorance. Because ignorance means you don't actually know things as they are. So since he doesn't know that karma is to be engaged in the Lord's service as devotion to please the Lord, then he's foolish. Right? So therefore, those who follow Daksha, who insulted Shiva, take repeated birth and death in this world because they're only interested in ignorance, and that means the bodily platform, and therefore then they will take birth again and again. Then Charya continues, disrespecting Shiva is an offense because Shiva is a great devotee of the Lord. Right? So it means that it's a great offense. It means the demigods, it's an offense because they are representing the Lord through his vibhutis and his different potencies and different offices within the universe. But you know, that's as much as we're seeing here. And they are, okay, neophyte devotees. So it has that aspect also. That would be the next higher up. But Shiva is a great devotee. He's a Mahajana. So insulting him, that will be even more great. Then from Bhagavatam, quote, because you have in anger killed many yakshas, killers of your brethren, you have offended Kuvera, the brother of Shiva. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.11.33, right? So then Acharya comments, remembering Kuvera's friendship with Shiva, devotee of the Lord, Dhruva prayed to Kuvera for bhakti, since he desired the devotee's nature of being respectful to all beings and desired bhakti. Thus it is said, quote, he who worships me constantly with pure devotion, but criticizes Shiva goes to hell for certain, Kurma Purana. Yeah, so in other words, you can't be worshiping the Lord and disrespecting the devotees. There has to be that proper balance. Otherwise, then there's always going to be a problem. This principle is also seen in the story of Chitraketu. Kapila condemned disrespecting ordinary living beings. What to speak of Shiva, right? So even general living beings are not to disrespect, let alone then Lord Shiva was a great devotee. Then from Bhagavatam, aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma vasita sada tam avagyaya mam martya kurute cha vidam anam. I, the soul of all beings, am always situated in all beings. He who disrespects me in all beings performs false worship of my deity form. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.29.21. So it looks like we're, you know, performing nicely our worship. Our sadhana is really good. We're doing everything very nicely. But if we're disrespectful towards other living entities in general, and especially then the Vaishnavas, then, as he points it out, then it's not real worship because the Lord includes his expansions as living entities, and, you know, everything that comes along with them. So you have to deal properly with everyone and everything. So that's why then for the Vaishnav, he follows all etiquette because he sees everything in connection with the Lord, everything in Krishna and everything. And so therefore then he deals appropriately and properly with every living entity and every situation he's in. You know, that even includes the plants and the trees and all that. They're not dealt with improperly. You know, it's like you walk along and for no reason just pull a leaf off the tree because it happens to be close to your hand and you can do it. You know, or you see an ant and you step on it because you can. You know, it's not, they're not bothering. So these kind of things like that are going to be a problem at these points. So then you're not actually seeing how Krishna is the absolute truth and everything's connected with him. It's a very low level of understanding. You know, one will think, yes, but my devotion to the Lord is very great. Yes, that's there and that's nice, but you have to include the living entities. So what to do? Then, you know, it means it's false worship. How to make it real worship then is make it connected, see all living entities connected to the Lord and on all in their relationship with the Lord and deal with them accordingly. Then it becomes real worship. So the idea of deity worship is to bring you up to the Madhyama platform and then take you beyond. It's to get you off the neophyte platform and make you go further. And neophytes, the one major element they have is one, having faith in anyone else themselves, being regulated when they, you know, for, you know, elevating their consciousness and to respect other living entities. These are all going to be weaknesses of the neophyte. They're always going to have these problems because the materialist, it's all about themselves. You know, what's I and mine, right? The Lord is the Antaryami, Bhutatma, of all living, of all beings. Sarveshu Bhuteshu, from ordinary living beings up to the Jivas who offer themselves to the Lord. By disrespecting living beings, one disrespects the Lord since the Lord resides in them. A person who disrespects living beings and worships a deity form does false worship. He disrespects the deity. Because he's just seeing the deity as the deity and not understanding how being the Supreme Lord, then everything is connected with him. And he's situated, that same deity is situated in the heart of every living entity. So then if he's actually worshiping his deity, he'll see all the living entities as the residents of his Lord. And therefore, he's respectful and deals properly with everyone.
Also, the point that the deity worship is introduced because after Satya Yuga, then people started becoming disrespectful to other living entities. Which says in the Bhagavatam.
Okay. That's interesting. Yes, because as a general rule, then Dwapara comes second.
Yes.
Okay, and to get everyone bring it up, and then okay, then it goes down, then you do the yajnas. And then, you know, you have to still also see in that way. But it doesn't have as, it's not as, okay. That's interesting. Yeah, because nowadays it's like the standard that everybody's looking for an opportunity to be offended, and therefore now they have the right to criticize others. You know, it's like an ideology that they have, you know, that that's their, you know, the whole philosophy and you know, activities and goals and everything. Yeah, really weird. Very nice. Okay. He who worships, so this is from Bhagavatam, he who worships the deity.
Yes, no.
He who worships the deity while rejecting me, the Lord being present in all beings, simply makes ablations into ashes instead of fire. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-22. That means the ashes don't give you anything, it's into the fire. The fire is Jatavedas carries, not the ashes. Right? So then you know, so he'll say, no, but I'm worshiping the deity and not the other living entities. But Krishna's pointing out here is, no, but you're rejecting me, or Kapila Muni's point, you're rejecting me because I'm in the heart of all those living entities. So therefore, all living entities are respected because of their relationship with him. He's there and they're related with him. Or we just see Krishna and no one else, then that's, you know, that's the view of the neophyte. And therefore then, you know, as you pointed out, then it's going to be that they tend to have no respect for others, unless there's, you know, something that they personally, it's important to them. You know, someone, let's say they're good at, they like sports. So someone good at sports, they'll respect them. But someone who's not good in sports, they won't respect them. You know, or someone who's rich, they'll respect, but not someone who's poor, or only those who are poor, but not someone who's rich. You know, whatever, we make all this us and them based on that, not seeing the connection with the Lord. Out of foolishness, maudyat, a person who rejects me, the Paramatma, present in all beings, and worships my deity form of stone and or wood, not understanding that the form is non-different from me, simply offers water and other items from a material point of view, or from a material viewpoint. Yeah. So then you're going to get here is that he's also commenting on the Smarta Brahmins. So for the Smartas, then they don't see the Paramatma and everyone, they're not seeing that. And they're also not understanding that the deity and the Lord are non-different. They just think it represents. It's something to help you focus your attention, since you can't focus your attention on nothing. That's why Shankaracharya is bringing people back into the Vedic line, because then from that, then they can appreciate, they can again bring up at least there's a representation of the Lord. While in Buddhism, then there's just nothingness, you know. So, you know, it's a step up from Buddhism, but it's not, it's actually then higher than that. It'll be those who worship the deity, understand the deity's non-different, like he mentioned before, but at the same time, don't respect the Paramatma and the living entities and Paramatma in everyone's heart and all living entities. So this is then even lower than that. So he's pointing out these Brahmins are smartas, right? Or at least Daksha is a smarta, and the other Brahmins are there, become implicated by the association, just as Kuvera, then he's seen, don't insult him because he is friends with Lord Shiva, and Shiva is a great devotee. Then in Agni Purana, a sage laments for his son killed by Dasarath. I thought the deity of the Lord was merely stone. On seeing the devotee of the Lord marked with symbols of the Lord, I did not show respect to them in my mind. Because of that, I must now lament for my son. Right? So this is Agni Purana. So then, so he's thinking that deity's a stone like that, you know, so he's not actually having that maturity of seeing that this is Krishna. And so because of that, then he's not seeing that the devotees are therefore representing the Lord. So they're also special. So then, you know, one will have problems. And then again, I think here, I think this next paragraph is also the Acharya speaking, so then that would go out again.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. A person who thinks the deity of Vishnu is stone, who thinks the guru is a human, who considers, unless it's part of, is this part of the Agni Purana?
I think it is one more word. Sometimes,
okay, Maharaj, it's another
quote. The context. It should be from Bhagavatam only, mostly.
Okay. A person who thinks the deity of Vishnu is stone, who thinks the guru is a human, who considers a Vaishnava according to his caste, who thinks that Vishnu and the Vaishnavas are contaminated by Kali Yuga, right? And also who thinks the movement is contaminated by Kali Yuga or the Vedas, who thinks Charinamrita is ordinary water, who thinks that the name and mantra of Vishnu, which destroys all sin, is ordinary sound, and who thinks that Vishnu, the Lord of all beings, is on the level of other beings, goes to hell. Since the fool does not see me, he disrespects all beings. By that fault, his worship is like offering ghee into ashes. There's no result for a person devoid of proper faith. The Kanishta devotee has some faith generated by popular tradition. That is described in the following. Right. So therefore, this is in general just the smart thing. That's why I said he may be a Brahmin. He may have all the nice 12 qualities of the Brahmin. You know, he's doing all the six occupations. Everything's going perfectly. But if he's not a devotee, then, you know, he doesn't have the proper understanding. So it's just like offering ghee into ashes. Since all these aspects of worshiping the deity, performing the yajnas, and doing all these nitya naimittic kriyas are meant for worshiping the Lord, he won't get any benefit from that of worshiping the Lord. He'll only get the material benefit, which just binds him in the cycle of birth and death. You can say, oh, no, but he's elevating himself to heavenly planets. Next birth? Next birth, then I said the next birth, then they fall, fall, and then take birth as grass. So now he's the big Brahmin that everyone's respecting in his next life. I mean, his, you know, then goes to heaven planet. Then his life after that's going to be a blade of grass that everyone steps on. Right? So not that fabulous. Since the fool, oh no, we got that. Then what is described in the following? O Krishna, what is the position of those who give up the rules of scripture but worship with faith? This is a condition in the mode of sattva. Oh, is this a condition in the mode of sattva or in the modes of rajas and tamas? Bhagavad Gita 17.1. It is said, the devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not behave properly towards other devotees or people in general is called an unrefined devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.47. That's a very nice term, unrefined devotee, as opposed to just Kanista, unrefined.
Maharaj.
Yeah. Sorry?
Nothing, Maharaj. I need to just give something. You can keep going.
Okay. Yeah, interesting, unrefined. Because if you say uncultured, people get, you know, disturbed. No, I have culture. You say unrefined, then it's kind of like unrefined in what, you know. So, though any type of worship of the Lord must give results, this type of worship does not give results quickly. However, results arise. Quote, when a person does not know that the Lord is situated in all beings, that person should worship me in the deity form along with prescribed duties without attachment. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.29.25. Right? So, in other words, by worshiping the Lord and not and in the deity form, but not respecting other living beings, that means then the worship is not proper. It's not complete. So, what's the solution? To continue worshiping the Lord with faith and to try to respect all living beings. It's not that, oh, if that's there, then the whole thing gets thrown out. No, it's the solution. In other words, like you mentioned before, is that in Satya Yuga, then they're seeing all living entities, they're Paramahamsas, or at least Hamsas, and they're seeing everyone on the spiritual platform. So they're going to deal with all living entities and all, you know, everything as Brahman, and so they're going to deal nicely. But in Satya Treta Yuga, or Dwapara, means when the Dwapara comes, then people don't see, aren't respectful towards other living beings. And so therefore then the deity worship comes in so that they can then purify themselves and start to see all living entities in connection with the Lord. Right? So it's being pointed out to point out, no, you have to continue in the worship and the importance of the Vaishnavas, because the whole process, Bhajana Kriya, is coming up because of association with devotees. You're getting Shraddha, faith, because of devotees. So the respect and worship of the devotees then becomes very important. Disrespect for others is described as follows. The person offers respects to me, but is inimical to other beings, hating their bodies, not seeing others suffering as equal to his own, his mind does not attain peace. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-23. A person devoid of seeing the Lord in all beings, bhinna darshinaha, who is proud and who has strong hatred of living beings, does not attain a peaceful mind. Right? And so we see is that when you surrender to the Lord, that's a natural point that the effects of karma and jnana are also coming along with that. So that means you have the facilities that you require, and you have no, you're not disturbed by the material energy. So here we can see is that not seeing all the Lord in all beings, and is proud and has the hatred towards the other beings. So he doesn't see the Lord in living beings. He hates those living beings, and he's proud. You know, it's because of his pride, then there's hatred. Because the pride comes, you know, that you think that one's superior, so that's the envy, and that envy becomes strong, then that hatred is manifest. So he won't get the benefit, you know, properly. Then, Piteva Putram Karuno No Dve Jayati Yo Janaha Vishuddhasya Harishi Keshas Tasya Turnam Prasidati. The pure person who does not disturb others, just as a father is compassionate to a son, quickly gains the mercy of the Lord, Mahabharata. Okay, does not others, just as a father is compassionate. So he's kind to all living entities, and he sees them all in that capacity. You know, that would be, you know, your general living entities. And especially the more advanced, that bisabhi means the more and more. But otherwise, in the beginning, you're always trying to be nice to them and anything, any living entity that's junior, you know, but all respectful towards all living entities. Then, Bhagavatam again. Aham ucha vacher dravyai kriyayot panna yan naghe naiva tushyer chitor chayam bhuta grama vamaninaha. Oh mother, I am not pleased with the person who criticizes other beings while worshipping my deity form with rites using various materials. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-24. So he's pointing out is that you can't say, oh, I'm criticizing there, but I'm worshipping the deity, so it's all right. Krishna is saying, no, worshipping the deity, that's good, but because you're criticizing others, then he's not really very satisfied by that. So you want to please the Lord, since that's the whole purpose of the devotee. So therefore, you have to also consider other devotees within your perspective of seeing the world. Avamaninaha means a person who criticizes. This is the equivalent of hatred. Okay, so then, you know, because he may say, you know, and who has strong hatred, so he strongly criticizes. You know, so that it means, you know, so however it's manifest, because he may speak, he criticizes, or he thinks them lower, he somehow or another thinks them inferior or inappropriate or like that. And so he may just make comments, or he may deal, you know, make politics or whatever he may do to manifest that envy. Right? Sharp arrows which pierce one's chest and reach the heart do not cause as much suffering as the arrows of harsh, insulting words spoken by materialists that become lodged within the heart. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:23-3. So on that material platform that one speaks these things, that gives more suffering than actual physical difficulty. So we see is that for the Vaishnavas, we say here, and so they were spoken by materialists, become lodged in the heart. So then we see that if you have the great devotees, you know, the pure devotees, that they're speaking some points. But it doesn't create this, because it's actually the actual truth in relationship to them, the soul, and their relationship to the Lord and other living entities that is being addressed. And so that's actually purifying, like Narad Muni then chastising and cursing the Nalakuvara Manigriva. That's not this form, because then afterwards, then taking their form of the tree, then they're able to be absorbed in Krishna and everything like that. Harsh words are worse than arrows, not the opposite. Thus, Kapila mentions criticism after arrows, right? So, therefore, don't criticize the Vaishnavas. That's the point. Right? You know, it's like Prabhupada wouldn't criticize necessarily living entities. He'd point out the weakness in their understanding and their action. Right? That's the whole point. Or, you know, it says, you know, that they belong to the, what was it, that one before? That was up the top. Yeah, consider Vaishnava according to his caste. You know, so no, Prabhupada said you're acting like a Shudra. He didn't say you are a Shudra. Because, you know, the soul's never these things anyway.
More than mine.
Just wondering where we are. Okay, we're just at the top. We haven't started that. Okay. Thus, it is a fault if one does not have faith in bhakti because of ignorance of the Lord. However, Kapila accepts the usefulness of deity worship even if performed with ignorance, since it produces knowledge, right? Bhakti will produce knowledge. You're in ignorance. You're performing bhakti. You're not getting that full result. But because you are performing bhakti, naturally from bhakti, knowledge and detachment come. That's why it says you should do these things with knowledge and detachment. But if you don't have having faith in it and performing it, because it's been told to do like that, then you will get knowledge and detachment. Then your quality of your devotion and your deity worship and everything will improve. So that's why it's not, oh, it's wrong, throw it out. Because sometimes you get that idea is that, oh, he did this mistake, so he should be thrown out. You know, he's a pujari. And he didn't act properly, so he shouldn't be a pujari. No, it's by following that process, that's how you're going to get purified. Right? You know, that's the whole point. He teaches that deity worship, along with prescribed duties, is a cause of a person developing knowledge of the Lord's presence everywhere, which causes faith. Right, so the one... One has a little faith, one takes these up. By performing that, that creates more faith, that brings you forward. By having that up more farther forward in understanding, the faith increases and then one performs. So it naturally just increases. So from Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, when a person does not know that the Lord is situated in all beings, that person should worship me in the deity form, along with prescribed duties without attachment, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-25. So he's performing his duties, worshiping the deity, right? And so whatever he's doing of worship of the deity, then that's done, you know, with faith, right? Then it's also along with prescribed duties. One is you're going to have your prescribed duties. If you're doing worship at home, you're going to have your prescribed duties that you're going to do the rest of the day, that you're maintaining yourself. So those should also be done, he says, without attachment. So then in knowledge and detachment, that you're doing these things for Krishna, or you're doing these things and offering the results to Krishna. Or you might even see as, okay, someone is doing the worship of the Lord, but then their occupation is Brahminical occupation, and they're a pujari, full-time pujari, so then all the rest of the worship during the day is being done as their occupational duty, right? So then it'll also include them there. And then when it gets to the point where it's not, where all you're doing, it's just sadhana to you. So in other words, when you start seeing it from the point of, it's not your maintenance, but it's your service, you see it from the ashram side, then it becomes sadhana. Therefore, then we can see those, you know, Krishna's first recommendation is just, it's just on the platform of sadhana. It's just everything's connected to the Lord. It's just being done as service to the Lord. It's not about, you know, us and ours and that identity. So basically from that Brahmachari Vanaprastha Sannyas platform, that can be just there. Grihasthas can also do if they have that kind of mentality, like you see Dhruva Maharaj is living that lifestyle as a king. Prahlad Maharaj is a great king. So many of the Pandavas, so many great personalities, then they're doing that. But they're, you know, of course, beyond that, they're on the platform of, you know, higher level devotion. But it's an example that one can still be situated in seemingly in occupational duties when they're just seeing it as service to the Lord. You know, it's beyond the point of Nishkam Karma Yoga, where I'm doing this activity that gets results for the Lord's pleasure, so the results are His. No, I'm just serving the Lord. And so this is the opportunity I have to serve. So even though the situation stays the same, it's where the consciousness is. So we see also in Braj, where they're fully surrendered to Krishna, everything is that, they're still performing all those duties of as the cowherd community, you know, and in their families and the relationships that are there. They're still performing all those, but it's just part of their service to Krishna. Then, because they're perfect. Then sadhana means you're trying to get to that platform like them, but you're performing all these activities just for Krishna. So that may include all the family duties and all the occupations and all that. But it's just, you just see it as it's Krishna's like that. So that's the actual platform of sannyas. Then there's the platform below that where it'll be more a mechanistic aspect of sannyas, where now it's Nishkam Karma Yoga, where you're doing all these things and knowledge, and that should be done to please Krishna and all that. And you're doing it, the results are already His. So you're just working for Him, you know, but it's the environment's still the same. Then you take it down another level where it's not Nishkam Karma Yoga, it's just Karma Yoga. So you're doing these activities and the results go to Krishna. You know, and then you take it down a further step again, where the person is just a nice guy opening hospitals, doing things. So he has to be performing an occupation to have the money to give in charity and open hospitals or whatever he's doing. So that's there. But and there'll be some devotion in doing these things. But the point is it's for the benefits he's going to get, you know, like that. So then you see that the environment may stay exactly the same, but it's the consciousness that changes. And, you know, going down what they had in that description. But for us, we're starting where we're starting and then trying to take it up step by step. Okay. Let's see, how are we doing time? Okay. While doing his prescribed duties, he should worship the deity as long as he does not know that the Lord is situated in all beings. Right. As long as he means, in other words, it's an obligation to worship the deity if you don't see Krishna in all living beings. If you start seeing Krishna in all living beings, you may be engaged in deity worship. You're comfortable with that, but you also might be doing other things. Like you see the six Goswamis, they had their deities and they would worship, but they had their, you know, a time when the temples were established. Then the deities would stay in the temple, and they arranged for Brahmins to take the, you know, charge of doing the daily worship and that. And so they would come and do whatever service they would be doing. But their main thing was studying and writing books and speaking, spreading Krishna consciousness. Like you say that, you know, Janapriyo. Yeah. So they're dear to all living entities. That whether they're cultured, you know, refined or adhir, they're not refined. You know, adhir, they're making mistakes. They're not seeing Krishna in all living entities. They're not dealing properly. So all those aspects are there, so they're focusing on that aspect. And then the pujaris, then because they're more, it's more that brahminical aspect, and that's their position, they're focused more on worshiping the deity like that. So that's why taking the caste Goswami element is the highest. No, it's actually the preacher is the main, you know, they're taking their status. They can say, oh, but we're preaching, but your status, why you're qualified to preach, is because you're a Brahmin and a Grihastha. That's how you're a guru. Because the son, let's say, of the Brahmin, he's not a guru until he gets married. So when he gets married, then he becomes guru. Before that, he may have people and he assists and he goes that. And, you know, so new people and all that. But then when he gets married and all that, then he'll give diksha and then he becomes. Prabhupada. So their whole basis is on the bodily platform of them being Brahmins and all that. So we see is that the whole point of deity worship is to get beyond the thing of seeing the Vaishnavas as by their caste. And here, their whole claim to fame is because of their position of caste. Right? So in the same way is that, how you say, like here it's that, you know, the caste Goswamis, you know, the caste Brahmins are the an apasampadaya. So let alone, you know, taking a lower stance, the caste un-Brahmins, you know, how you say, we're the Westerners. So we're caste Westerners. So that's our glory and that's our position. And we're like that. So the whole point of deity worship is to take one beyond these platforms and bring you to the platform. You see all living entities in connection with Krishna. So why is it we're Westerners? Because they don't mind using their philosophy for people who aren't Westerners. Let's say Oriental people, they're not Westerners, but they'll suggest to them the same thing, even though their lifestyle is much more connected and close to the Vedic. Right? Anyone in Asia, their lifestyle is closer to the Vedic standard, you know, just by nature. So Prabhupada says, you know, like that, you know, it's just, that's how they are. Just that you know, when you go from Bengal to the west, towards the west direction, as you go, there's still that religious thing. And when you get to all the way to the Orient again, they're following these cultures, but they're more materialistic. Because see, if you're not following the Vedic kind of standards and you're materialistic, how absorbed can you be in that materialism? Because the result you'll get won't be that great. Right? But now if you follow the Vedic terms, but only for the benefit you get much more materialism. Therefore, you see that whole Orient. Then there is, they're following the Vedic kind of, you know, standards. They don't know, but they're following, you know, in the way of relationships and lifestyle, you know, things to how they do and certain standards and all that. And so they're much more materialistic because they're atheistic. They don't see a relationship too. So they're actually the real Westerners, you know. So the point is that we're trying to go beyond all these things, you know, whether it's just out of ignorance, whether there's the element of passion that's there, whatever it is, we're trying to get to the point of goodness. And that point of goodness is to get us to pure goodness. So that's all. So human life begins at accepting the varnashram and at accepting duties, regulations. So therefore, at least the platform of goodness, whether our consciousness is necessarily well situated. They're not, because goodness means it can be mixed. It's a predominance of goodness. So you could say generally if it's 60% goodness, then, you know, you're situated there, though there may be a lot of passion and ignorance. But at least it's predominantly there. And if you study in that and have proper association, it could go up in quality. And so that's the idea. At some point you come in contact with devotees, then you see, start doing devotional service, then the quality of what you're doing, you're still doing the same activities because you're still situated in the same way. Then you elevate yourself up to the point of pure goodness, then all that passion and ignorance disappears. And so then externally it looks the same as the others who are doing, but actually it's being done in on the platform of devotion. Right, so then, yes, now continuing here, yes. Okay, we were just, the same point. While doing his prescribed doings, prescribed duties, he should worship the deity as long as he does not know that the Lord is situated in all beings. Performance of duties is an assistance, since a person without faith is not qualified for pure bhakti. Christ, in pure bhakti, you can just do sat, because you know that will be there. Performing your duties, you could say, but the Pandavas were performing their duties. But for them, it's part of the service to the Lord. It's not, so it's pure devotion. It's not that, I have to do my duties to maintain myself. Right? Because they go to the forest and they do fine there, and they come back and they're the emperors of the world. They're fine there. They have to, you know, they lose their position and they're in the forest they're fine again. You know, then they come back and then they get half the kingdom and they're fine with that. And then they lose that and they go to the forest again. It doesn't matter to them. So it's not their prescribed duties because, oh, I have to do this because otherwise you don't maintain and all that. Or it's a support for devotional service. It's religious, but that's good. That's fine. You see it in that context. But we're talking about as long as you don't see that, since it's personal, that faith is not qualified for pure bhakti. And so that pure bhakti is the Uttama platform. Right? It means you can have pure bhakti on all the 50 levels. It's that your intent is that platform of pure bhakti. But the actual point is below that, then you're doing. So at the Madhyama level, you're still doing, but now it's the comfortable place to work from. But on the Uttama platform, it's just because there's a form that you express through. Religion is used to express bhakti. But it's not that it is the bhakti. It's the expression for, just like the kitchen is for expressing the principles of cooking. Kitchen is not cooking, but it's the expression through which it's manifest. Qualification of pure bhakti is jata shraddho mat tatasu. He has developed faith in my topics, right? So as long as that becomes a prominent element, that faith, right? So it gets to 60%. You're on the cusp of nishta. Then when it gets to 75%, then you're nicely fixed in nisha. You know, then it's solid. It's people can see that. And then it will continue from there. Right? So he has developed faith in my topics. Not, you can't have faith in other things other than the topics of Krishna. Other things may be able to be used. You can see them in relation to Krishna, but you can't think that, oh no, but by this particular knowledge, then everything will go well. You know, I get my degree, I become the doctor, I can maintain myself, then I can be a good devotee. No, it's just by hearing about Krishna, that's what's going to make you the devotee. The other just makes it comfortable to live your life and you're not uncomfortable. So in other words, the person who can be a brahmachari or vanaprastha sannyas, and you know, they're not worried about anything, they're comfortable, then that's a nice position for them. If they're not comfortable with them, then naturally the grihastha ashram is the position from which they can find that position of that balance of comfortable. You know, like water finds its own level, so the comfort finds its own level. More than that is luxurious, less than that is uncomfortable. You find just that neutral point. And then even within that, if one takes up, one becomes more Krishna conscious, more advanced earlier in one's practice, then one sees one may still be a grihastha. And so then he moves up. So then it goes from sakam karma yoga, nishkam karma yoga, to it simply is just his sadhana. Like that. And eventually comes to the point where he's a pure devotee. So it doesn't have to change. You see, much of the time it comes along, you go through, and by the time you get some, you know, solid maturity, then you may be kind of at the position of a vanaprastha. So naturally it's you would perform those duties. But the same point is that still within the varnashram is still religion that we're engaging in Krishna service. That's Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-27. Having developed faith from knowledge of the Lord, that person does not worship the Lord while performing duties of Dharma. He performs pure worship only. Right, so performing the duties of Dharma means I have to do this because this is what I should do, or this is what I'm doing to please Krishna. So all the externals of it, that's where it switches from the Varnashram to Daiva Varnashram. So Daiva Varnashram is also going to have, you know, the different levels. That which is directly favorable to devotional service, like chanting, hearing about the Lord, associating Vaishnava, being in the Dham, worshiping the deity, serving Tulsi, serving the Dham, like this. Then you're going to have those things that are, you know, okay. You know, they're supportive of bhakti. Then you're going to have those ones that are neutral. They don't cause any problem for bhakti, but they are not specifically for bhakti, like taking your bath or being clean and things like that. So those are just, they keep the environment in there for the body and mind in good shape. But then those things that actually aren't so good for bhakti, those then are going to be rejected. So Daiva Varnashram is going to start at least from that neutral, right? And then, you know, with time, as you advance more, that point of the Daiva Varnashram is going to take on just those points that support that level of devotion that you're at. And so then, you know, then they're not specifically duties anymore. It's just what you do to serve Krishna, because there is your activities you do during the day that's part of Pancharatra. So instead of doing it as a Vedic thing, you're doing it as a Pancharatric thing, and then with time, you're doing it simply as a Bhagavat thing. Okay, then from Bhagavatam. As long as one does not become detached from daily and periodic duties, or has not awakened his faith in hearing topics about me, one should perform one's prescribed duties of Varnashram. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29. So this is the qualification. It's not that, oh, that's archaic, we don't use that, or it's Kali Yuga, things don't change. That was one of the things before. It's one of the symptoms of the neophyte. He thinks that devotees and devotional service are affected by Kali Yuga, and so therefore you can't do all these things. And generally it would be more, it's not that you can't do them, I wouldn't want to do them, you know, as we're saying, because we're not from the Vedic background, you know, conditioned background. Therefore, why would we do it? Because I have my own conditioning, and I'm, you know, proud and attached to that. And so therefore, then I dislike anybody who's doing these things. So that was what was mentioned before, that hate for other living entities and that. Yeah. You know, a person devoid of seeing the Lord in all beings, Bhinna Darshanaha, who is proud and who has strong hatred of living beings, does not attain peace of mind. Maybe, you know, you have in general living beings, or maybe specific living beings. But the point is it has to be that, you know, this is the position one has. So this is the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. So these are like the last chapters of Gita. They always apply. Right? You can go to a higher level where you're doing everything not because of this knowledge, but because it pleases Krishna. But the point is you can't say that that's affected by time, place, and circumstance. Point is, not detached from daily and periodic duties. He is attached with them, for either he likes doing them, you know, even though it's service for Krishna, he likes doing them. Or it's because he is, you know, sees the benefit he'll get from doing them, right? And then, or has not awakened his faith in hearing topics. So it means, you know, how you say, he may have become detached, but he hasn't awakened his faith, right? Because you can see is that on the material platform, someone interested in mukti can attain the position of sannyas, and therefore can give up the varnashram duties. He gives up varna and then ashram, right? You know, varna and ashram stage. So then, you know, it can work. But he's saying one or the other, you know. So what you're trying to do is see that both. So the faith is the most important. So when you get faith in hearing topics about me, when that increases, then the other, the daily and periodic duties, simply have, you know, whatever assistance they can give. Like Bilva Mangal Thakur is saying that the now that he's surrendered to Krishna and has no interest in anything else but topics of the Lord, you know, he mentioned that faith, then, you know, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha standing at his door wanting to do service. That's not that they're inside hanging out with him and, you know, and then they're, you know, sitting by the fire with their, you know, how you say, pina coladas or whatever they're drinking and, you know, this talking whatever nonsense they're talking. No, they're outside the door. It means they're not in this house, because this house is just about discussions about Krishna. So they're outside the door and wishing they could render him some service. Right? A person, however, does not give up deity worship, for it is said, Pratishtitarcha not Pratyaja Yava Yavaj jivam samarchayet varam prana parityagas shiraso vapi kartanam. One should not give up worship for one's whole life. It is better to give up one's life or cut off one's head. Hayashirsha Pancharatra. Right? So the whole life, one's always doing his worship. That's why he sees, even though the Goswamis are living under a tree and writing and doing their sadhana, their practices in Krishna consciousness, but they're still worshiping the deities. So that always remains. Like when Prabhupada would travel around, then he'd always have a picture of with him of the deities of London, Ishwara, like that. And wherever he'd go, then he'd always be coming to the program, doing the different things. And then when you have special ceremonies, abhishekes or installations, he'd be involved. So these kind of things go on. If it's there, you take part. And if you're not there, it still works because you see Krishna everywhere and everything. He's in your heart. You're always with Krishna. So there's not a problem, but it's not that you avoid it. Okay. Performing deity worship along with Dharma, one cannot attain perfection without being merciful to living entities, right? So the deity worship along with Dharma. So you're performing your Dharma. So the deity worships the Pancharatrik. The Dharma is going to be the Vedic or the Daivavarna Ashram. So for us, in other words, performing deity worship, Pancharatrik deity worship along with Daivavarna Ashram. So you have to be merciful to living entities. You won't get perfect at that because it's already mentioned the deity worship you won't get, let alone the Dharma. Right? If it doesn't work at the higher level, you're definitely not going to perfect the lower level. Then Bhagavatam, in the form of death, I give great fear to the person who makes distinction between his own belly and the bellies of others. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-26. Like that. How are we doing? 58. Okay. Then the Acharya comments here. The person who sees difference between his own and others' bellies, he does not see equally with the Lord in every being, thinks only of his own stomach when he feels hunger. For the person who sees different, I as death, give frightening samsara, bhayam. This is further explained. Atam mam sarva bhuteshu bhutatma nam kritalayam arhayed dhana manabhyam maitra bhinnena chakshusha. On the other hand, they should worship me, the soul in all beings, who have taken shelter in all beings with gifts and respect, treating all beings as equal friends. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-27. Okay. Of course. Yeah, so in other words, it always has to be that you always have to be worshiping the Lord and seeing all living entities equally. That is a constant that has to be there. If you're not worshiping with faith and performing your duties and seeing all living entities as equal, by the Lord is in everyone and they are parts and parcels of the Lord, then whatever process you're following, it's going to be very slow, right? There's faith in the Lord. You've gotten that from the devotees. It will go quicker, but it still is not as effective as if one has respect for other living entities. Yes?
Yes.
No. Still. Okay.
I was looking into the...
the time. Yeah, so these things always remain. So you can't, since they always have to be there, then what's the process of worship? What's the process of, the Daivavarna Ashram that we're using? What's the understanding of the philosophy to see all things in Krishna and Krishna and everything? So in other words, these aspects of the Bhagavat, the Pancharatrik and the Vedic all need to be there. You can't give them up and then thinking, oh, it's a modern age, we can't do any of these things. That's all nonsense. Okay. So end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.